no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a off.
He's listening to you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What is going on, folks? Welcome back. This is the Beltway Golfer Podcast. This is episode 70. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. On today's show, we've got a gentleman by the name of Bernie Smoot. If you're a follower of Beltway Golfer on Instagram, you may recall a reel we posted a few months back over the winter where we played a brief clip from the audio that is today's podcast. Why is Bernie Smoot on our podcast? Well, it's pretty simple. Bernie's a World War II veteran who today, in 2023, still tries to play University of Maryland's golf course 6 days a week, weather permitting, and when he's in town. Bernie is 97 years of age, still strikes the ball pretty well. We played with him. This audio of this podcast is a recording of our round and our conversation. Bernie was nice enough to let us put a mic on him. So there's no video if you're taking this in on YouTube, but we've edited it down to about an hour of our conversation and Bernie telling stories, his background, a bit about his time in the war, growing up in DC, his life in golf. But Bernie seemingly figured out the secret to healthy longevity, and it might just be golf. He walked University of Maryland 6 days a week until he was 91, carried his bag. He's only started using a golf cart in the last 6 or 7 years. It's incredibly impressive. He first shot his age over 20 years ago. He's now done it countless times. Doesn't even keep track. Hundreds, if not thousands of times, if you start doing the math, he shot his age. It's a remarkable story. It was an absolute honor to be able to play around with him and really enjoyed getting an opportunity to get to know him a little bit and hit the golf ball around University of Maryland and have some fun conversation. If you ever want to track down Bernie yourself, there's a good chance if he's in town, he's at University of Maryland golf course. Before we get to the audio with Bernie, I want to talk about our sponsor, but in doing so, tell you a little bit about a golf trip that I just got back from up in the Northeast. Kind of a family trip. Family was already up there, drove up on my own, played some golf, which started off with a really cool event hosted by the Fried Egg at Yale University Golf Course. Played 36 holes there. Just a monster of a course. Really cool place. Getting ready for a restoration by Gil Hance and his team later this year. They're getting started. Really cool event. Enjoyed that a lot. Got to play a Golden Age nine-holer just down the road, still on the South Shore of Connecticut on the Long Island Sound called Fenwick Golf Course. Really cool, beautiful little nine-hole golf course. And then maybe the highlight of the trip, on my way up to Maine, after I got into Maine in Kenny Bunkport, played Cape Arundel, which is it's a private course, but this is a great model. They allow public tee times up to 3 days in advance. So traveling as a single, I got out first tee time on the day that I was coming through. No problem. Played by myself. Got around the course in 3.5 hours, and that was taking my time, taking pictures. Could easily have played in 2.5 hours. It's super walkable. Not real challenging tee to green, but a beautiful setting and some of the best greens you're ever going to find. It's a Walter Travis design, and the green complexes are just unbelievably fun. Three putts are just everywhere. I'm embarrassed to admit how many I had, but just a really cool golf course. If you summered in that area or something, it would just be an incredible place to play every day. But really enjoyed that round. Got a couple more nine-hole rounds in, including on the island of North Haven in Penobscot Bay. I got tipped off on this course a few years back by the Sugarloaf Social Club, North Haven Golf Club, which is another 100-year-old golf course right on the bay. They got one hole on the sea, but just a gorgeous, cool old place, kind of a step back in time. And then on the way home, got to play a nine-holer in Prospect, Connecticut, about a half an hour north of New Haven with my son at dusk on a Sunday. $14. They let my son play for free. Just a beautiful nine-hole golf course. You know, neighborhood place where, you know, tee to green, it's a little bit rough in some spots, but the greens were fantastic. All sorts of varying lengths, bunch of hills, great exercise, and there was just kind of charm everywhere. It was just the kind of place that, again, it'd be so awesome to have nearby. And it's the only lighted golf course for night golf in the state of Connecticut. They don't do it on Sunday nights, which is the day we were there, but still, it was really cool. On this trip, I played one golf ball brand, and that's Union Green. I've been playing the Pin Drop for the last 3 months or so. It gives me everything I need. It's a three-piece constructed ball. I don't lose anything on distance. It gives me the high trajectory on my irons that I like and on my tee ball. And, you know, I get the spin I need on the course. It gives me everything I need. I'm a big fan of Union Green. Obviously, playing them in part because they're a sponsor of this show. But I love that they're a sponsor because they represent everything that we try to represent here at Beltway Golfer, which is playing locally, public golf, municipal golf, supporting the community, your local community, and playing golf. Golf that is not exclusive. That's what Union Green's all about. That's what Beltway Golfer is all about. So happy to have a sponsor. Go to uniongreen.com. They're still running the same sale on the Pin Drop where you can buy up to 4 dozen golf balls, all sorts of tiered discounts, but 4 dozen, you get 25% off, comes out to like $22 a dozen. And then they also have their two-piece constructed ball, the T-Bird, which is really built for length at $20 a dozen. But again, uniongreen.com, and go ahead and give them a follow on social at Golf Union Green. If you support Union Green, you're supporting this podcast. So thank you very much for that. Let's get to the audio with Mr. Bernie Smoot. Here it is. This is episode 70 of the Beltway Golfer podcast. Bernie Smoot, enjoy.
I said I'm trying to do the timeline. So what years were you in the service?
Let's see. I graduated from Armstrong High School in Washington in February of 44. They drafted me. I was in the Army in March of 44. Uh-huh. I hit Omaha Beach June the 16th of 44. And I was at the Battle of the Bulge in the winter of 45.
Good Lord. And when did you get home?
Oh, that's a long story. We went across Europe. I left Europe sometimes, either in April or early May of 45. And they shipped us from the German border, German-Belgian border, to Cologne, Germany, and put us on freight cars and took us to Marseille, France, put us on a converted freighter that the French had converted to a troop transport. It was 4,000 of us on that ship. We came through the Mediterranean, crossed the Atlantic, through the Panama Canal and up to Pearl Harbor. When they got up there, they found they had 4,000 colored soldiers. They told us at Pearl they had no garrison for us. We left there and we went 3,200 miles to the Philippines. I stayed on that ship 122 days before my feet ever touched the ground.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you something. That ship had 5 decks. The top deck was for the ship's complement. The second deck was for all the officers. The third and fourth deck had no portholes. It was for the enlisted men. After we came out of the Panama Canal into the Pacific, from that time on till I got off that boat, sometime in late July at Okinawa, the temperature in those bottom three decks never got above. I've never got lower than 102, stayed around 118 or 20 degrees down there. Oop. I was on Okinawa when they dropped the atomic bomb on Japan. Then after December of 1945, they told the unit, y'all are moving. I said, oh, I'm going home.
Wow.
Lucky. They put my ass in the occupational forces of Korea and Japan. I went to Korea the 28th day of December 1945. I didn't get home from Korea until February 47.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So you were the...
It took me around the world.
Yeah.
As I said, I've been retired. I retired from the federal government in 1980.
Okay.
And since 1980, every day, weather permitting, I play golf, and I don't go anywhere where I can't play golf. I had a daughter that spent 2 years up in Alaska, in Juneau, at the University of Alaska, getting a master's degree in environmental science. And she kept telling me, "Daddy, it's pretty up there." I said, "You're on a glacier, you have no golf course, and if you want to see me, you'll have to come home. I do not go where there's no golf course."
That's a matter of policy.
Well, her mother didn't like that idea. Her mother went up and spent a month with her, but I told her no. I said, I spent all my leisure time on golf courses. And I think the lady who used to keep the records in here, I think it was either 2019 or 2018, she said I set a record. She said I played this course 289 times in 1 year.
Oh, my goodness.
But I told her, I said, that couldn't be because I go to Williamsburg. I have a sister that I'm 20-some years older than she is, and she's my only real living relative.
Okay.
Because I don't count my daughter and nieces and nephews. I spend 1 week with her just about every month. And I played 48 times down there that year.
So you played 48 times in Williamsburg, and they're saying you played
289 here. No, weather permitting, I'm out here. The only thing that stopped me from coming out here...
That still would have given you 30 days off.
The only thing that stopped me from coming out here is my daughter hides my car keys. She warns me all the time. Not enough. She warns me all the time. You need to rest. I told her I will rest when you put me in the cemetery with all of your relatives. People ask me all the time, where are you going for Christmas? Where's your family meeting for Thanksgiving? I said, my family don't meet. Oh, they don't meet, why? I said, because they're all in the cemetery and ain't nobody interested in having dinner in the cemetery.
So,
I know
you. When did you start, you said you've been playing for 70 years, but when did you start playing to this frequency?
Oh, that was until after I retired.
Which was what?
I retired in 1980. Okay, so I've been playing to this frequency a little over 40 years.
And you retired from what?
Federal government.
Federal government.
Yeah. I don't know how far that thing ran down here.
I was taking.
You couldn't see over the hill.
Yeah.
We'd just go across here. There it is, way over there.
Good eyes. 97, your eyesight's still good.
I didn't mean to bring these glasses. I put them in my bag. I don't need them.
So, you retired in 1980, 42 years ago. Did you immediately start playing this level of golf?
Oh, no. I had gotten down to an 8 handicap before I retired. I guess I got down to an 8 handicap in the late 60s or early 70s. Because when I came out here and joined in 88, I was an 8. And right now from this red-white thing, I'm playing either a 10 or 11. And from this regular senior tees, I think I'm playing up to a 14. The biggest problem, I've lost so much distance off the tee ball. Huh?
I said that's understandable.
No, it's not. When you look at Tiger Woods and those kids out there and they're hitting the ball, I see I see an 11-year-old out there hitting the ball further than I can hit it.
Well, I would imagine there's not too many 97-year-olds that are out driving you.
I don't know about that. I don't worry about how far I hit it. All I want to do is try to keep it in play. Because right now, when I have my better rounds, I've got to have between 9 and 11 one-putt greens. Because I don't hit that many greens in regulation. Getaway, if you subtract the four par fours, everything else is versus something I can get on the green regulation. Even the par fives. So there lies the difference. I'm afraid there's no such thing as finding a good spot in here. Okay, ball. Can you stay down? Nope, you didn't stay down. Came right up out of it. I knew it. Came right up out of that one. That's the problem when you have so many clothes on and you're stiff. It's hard to get rhythm and timing and get your swing down. See, I have a concept about golf that is, in my way of thinking, golf is 80% mental and only 20% physical.
I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Because I'm over here in this sand trap because I made a mental mistake back there. I made two of them, the second and the third shot. There's no way with me shooting for that pin that my ball should be in this trap. You won't, I'm going to tell you, these things are frozen. You're not going to be able to get under that ball. I can tell you that now. If you try to get under, all the club's going to do is bounce into it. Is this you or me?
That's you.
You're up there, yeah, okay. I'm going to try to pick it because that's the only way I can get it out of here. Now, see, that club bounced right into that ball. Well, they got moisture in them and they're wet and they're hard. You can't get under it. Well, I did the first time I didn't swing the club. I just wish you to come along maybe in late April or May when I'm playing. See, this thing hard as a brick.
Is Williamsburg National, is that your kind of home?
Well, my brother-in-law and sister belong to the country club there at Williamsburg National. They have two courses, the Yorktown and the Jamestown. That score up there was on the Yorktown. Thank you. And do me a favor. Let me pick my clubs up. You see, most people think they help an old person by doing things for them. No. Let me bend and feel the pain so I can get used to it. You see. One thing I find with most older people.
But to be fair, if you were 20, I still would have picked up your book.
I understand, but a lot of people figure, well, he's old, I'll help him. No. If you help me, you're only creating a crutch. And that's the one thing I don't need. Nope. The bag boy down in Williamsburg at the club when I pull up. They used to run out to the car and tell me, no, you can't touch my bag. They said, why, Mr. Smoot? I said, because I don't want to be a cripple. Well, what does that got to do? I said, if you do everything for me, I won't know how to do for myself. I said, what's going to happen when I go somewhere and you're not there to pick my bag up? I won't be used to it. I maintain the older you get, the more active you better be if you want to stay around.
Is that your secret?
I don't know. I think the only secret in longevity is through the grace of God. I think that's the only reason we stay here. I said one thing to you. Why does a 3 or 4 month old baby die? You can't say he died from sin. Why does he die? I think the Lord decides who comes, who goes, and when. I don't think we have a damn thing to do with it. And, I had
your sister.
She's back May the 9th, she was 77.
Oh, wow.
I'm 20 years old. I was never raised with her. When I came back from World War II in 47, she had just been born the previous May of 45. She wasn't even 2 years old.
Both same parents?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And the funny thing is that when I was going to college and I used to put her in the car and take up on the campus, she called me to lose a lot of dates because the first thing, you're married.
She said the girls thought she was yours.
Well, yeah. Oh, I couldn't convince none of them that she wasn't.
Now, pardon me if you've already told me, but did you have other siblings?
Huh?
Did you have other siblings? You may have already told me.
No, I only had one daughter. I had one daughter.
Or siblings. Did you have other brothers or sisters? Besides?
Oh, no. My brother, I had two brothers. I had one older and one younger. My oldest brother was 18 months older than myself. I was the middle one. And my youngest brother was 3 years younger than me. Because when my sister was born, I think he was about 18 years old. And
I imagine the sister was a bit of a surprise, or?
When my sister was born in May of 45, I was somewhere out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Because I had left.
Did your brother serve as well?
My oldest brother served in South Africa, North Africa. He was drafted in 42. And he served in fact, my oldest brother was actually in the horse cavalry. When he went in, they had mechanized his unit. He trained on horses in California. And even when he shipped out to North Africa, they took their horses with them.
Right.
He said it wasn't until they got over there that they started getting rid of the horses and become mechanized in North Africa.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you look at your time in the war? How did you view it?
Well, it's hard to describe this to you because I've been trying to describe it to my 65-year-old daughter all my life. People don't understand the culture and how things were in America back during the periods of segregation. They just don't understand. I'll show you something my daddy used to do with us three boys. He'd take a coin. He said, "See that coin?" He said, "That's one side." He said, "That's another side." He said, "Every time you guys get in a fight, it's only because of one thing. One of you on one side of that coin, the other's on the other side."
That's right.
And he says, "It's all about your ideas." And that's how the world goes. We're coined. We either agree with the side of the coin the other guy has, or we disagree. Didn't quite make it.
Yeah. Well,
as I said, all I can do now is work on trying to make solid contact. All right, you want the distance?
No.
Huh? Well, listen.
I'm going to eyeball it.
I'm showing 126. Opened up on it. No, it's just, it's just really amazing. And as I look at my daughter, who her whole life went to integrated schools, and I tell her, I say, "Your perception of people is a little different than mine. I said, because your exposure to people was different than mine.
Sure. Every generation will be with that.
Well, there's so much more movement now.
Yeah.
You must realize, in my generation, who the 20s and the 30s and the early 40s, if it wasn't for the military, 90% of the people in this country would have never moved more than 30 or 40 miles from their home. When I was a kid, if somebody said, right from Northeast Washington, and said Silver Spring or Rockville, I would think they're talking about halfway around the world. Nobody in my neighborhood ever been there.
Yeah.
Unless this guy drove a truck or something. Mm-hmm. You know, but in general, nobody ever went anywhere.
Yeah.
And another thing, I'll give you a good example. When they built the Beltway around Washington, I think it was 2 years or 3 years after my wife started teaching in Rockville. And she started teaching out there in 51. So around 52 or 53, they built the Beltway. To go from Northeast Washington to Rockville used to take my wife 2 to 2.5 hours. Don't let him look at it. Don't let him see it. No, I'd prefer for you to go in so you could say I was cheating. I never will forget, I got so mad with my daughter when she was in high school. I beat Liel out of a $5 match, and I was keeping the
$5. Where was that?
Over at Langston. And, oh, that was before he became a pro. I mean, before he went out on the PGA, anyway. But anyway, I beat him out of $5, and I was keeping the $5. I had it.
Did you know him well?
Or? Oh, yeah. I got to know Lee pretty good. I was never a friend of his, but I knew him from playing around Langston because, as I said, sometime in the 60s, I started playing pretty regular, and I'd gotten down to about an 8 handicap. And of course, back in those days, most of the golfers figured if you didn't gamble, you weren't a good golfer. And one of the best golfers I ever played with at Langston Golf Course was a man who was a principal of an elementary school, and he didn't gamble at all. And Langston was a 9-hole course. And every time I played with that guy for over 3 or 4 years, he would always shoot it on that 9 holes under par. But he didn't gamble. And he used to tell me all the time, Bernie, golf is not about gambling. Golf is about how well can you fare against the golf course. Not against your buddy, but against the golf course. He said, that's what you're trying to do. He says, if you can beat the golf course, you automatically beat your buddy. Let's see if I can look at this ball. Boy, don't fall and bust your ass. Jesus. Just think. A few extra steps is better than trying to get up off the ground. My daughter won't let me travel no more.
You look at your time in the war, you know, as exposure to the world.
Well, I got a small glimpse of it there. As a civilian, I've been all over the world.
Oh yeah. Through your federal job or?
No. Well, I did have one little contract job one time that I did a little traveling on it. But basically, when I retired, my wife and I did a lot of traveling. In Asia, I've been to Japan, Korea, Beijing, Shanghai, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand, on that side of the world.
Wow.
On the Atlantic side, I've been in all the Scandinavian countries, Finland, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. I've been all over Germany. I've been in just about every major German city. I've been down into Austria, and I've been over all over Italy. So I've done a lot of traveling. I've been very lucky. Well, I can change clubs. I won't hit this driver. This thing's frozen everywhere. Where there's water, you might find that you can get it in the ground. Nope. Let me get a different club, because this I'm going to have to hit a different club. Now, what I was saying, my daughter's in high school, and she asked me for some money, and I said, I have some money in that dresser drawer. And she took that $5 bill I won. Yelda. I was so damn mad, but I couldn't get mad with her because I told her. I kept that thing for years. That was in the late 70s. Lee was a pro then. Ooh, I see one. No, that's not a ball.
I think you're over here.
Huh?
Your second one was over here.
Yeah. I think both of them are over this side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, machine. I'll take
the... I see one there.
Huh? You see one?
Sure do.
Yeah. Yeah, one about a tree over there.
We'll let this group play through and we can chat.
Yep. You can wave them through if you want, when we get over out of the way.
Is it the cart path, it's not letting the...
Let me explain something. You see that?
Yeah.
I went to night school. I don't read in the daytime.
So now, how did you end up... You went to University of Maryland for your school.
Hmm?
You attended University of Maryland, correct?
I ended up here, yeah.
After the war.
That's something I haven't even figured out yet. I can show you my alumni card. I never took a class here. But when I was in Korea, the University of Maryland had this correspondent school with the military, and they had a headquarters in Germany. And I used to send all my stuff to them. Okay. I came back, went a couple of years to Howard, and one of the teachers up at American University, I was taking a course up at night, and he was interested in World War II. So I had dinner with him one night, and we got to talking. And he asked me, he said, why did you decide to come up and take this course? I said, oh, I've been taking college course. I said, I took almost 2 years worth of college courses, those correspondent courses to the University of Maryland when I was in Korea. I didn't know that he also taught over here at the University of Maryland.
Okay.
And the next session, he said, I want to see you after class. He said, are you aware of the fact that you have enough credits that you could have graduated a long time ago? I said, no. I said, it wasn't. He said, let me look into it. And about a month later, my diploma came to me in the mail.
This is while you were overseas during the war, while you were...
No. No. I got my diploma and all. In, I think about 1953 or 54.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere back in there. I don't even know where the damn thing is, because I had never had no use for it. No. The only college courses I ever took that ever helped me any all were tax courses. Because
those
my
are valuable.
Huh? Well, my father was in business. My father was a pharmacist. My family had a drugstore, a neighborhood drugstore in Washington. My father finished Howard in 1912.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, but it was rumored that he had to be among the first person of color to receive a license to practice pharmacy in the city of Washington. But we don't know that to be a fact because nobody has no damn records.
Sure.
So, and things were so much different than they are today. And you can go to computers and do a lot of, oh, there's other ball up there in the ditch.
Yeah.
You can go to, you know.
Do you have any other affiliation? I mean, why did you start, like, why did you join University of Maryland's golf course? This isn't the most convenient golf course for you.
Well, I was a member, I don't know if you ever heard of the Washingtonian up on.
Sure, in Gettysburg.
Yeah, 270, Sam Ike's course.
Sure.
Well, Sam Ike and my knew my daddy when, during the 20s, when Sam Ike used to own a bunch of liquor stores down in Washington. Okay. Well, back then.
Sam Ike, he was a developer?
Sam Ike, he was a developer, and he built that high rise there.
He had his hands in a lot of things.
Well, from what I understand, a hell of a lot of those high rise apartments in Silver Spring he built. But all that stuff came after the war. And he had moved out of Washington and away from having liquor stores and that sort of thing. But when I joined the Washingtonian up there, oh, I think it was in the mid-60s, and I played up there because I live in Potomac. And so
were you there until it closed?
Mm-hmm. It, actually, the last of it really went out late 84, 85, when the one up on Muddy Branch Road, they finally started developing, because we had two courses. We had one on 270, and we had one course up on Muddy Branch Road.
Okay. So there was, it was 36 holes.
Yeah.
Were they next to each other? Or is
that No. I don't know how well you know that area.
A little bit, but I'm not like the back of my hand.
Well, Muddy Branch Road is coming back towards the Potomac River from 270. Okay. You would come across, it's not as far out as the International Monitor for Clubs, not that far out. Yeah.
How many rounds, if you had to guess, how many rounds do you think you got in this year?
This year? Well, due to the virus and junk, I didn't play as much. Another thing is that I...
Have you avoided the virus so far?
Well, I haven't had any problems. Only problems I have is allergies, and I have arthritis very badly. I've had a couple of bad arthritis attacks that, I couldn't play. Because I get it in my hands, my feet, it's all over my body. You see your ball yet? Okay, well, you count how many balls you lose, I'll replace them for you. I've got thousands of them. The assistant pro who runs the thing for the kids up here, this year so far, I've given her 1,500 golf balls.
How is that? How do you do that?
I pick them up on the golf course. I told you, I'm out here every day.
1,500?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know the last time I bought a golf ball? When Wilson came out with a ball, and they said that the ball was titanium, and that was in the late 60s, that's the last time
a golf ball. You bought a golf ball.
That's the last time I bought
every
one.
Every golf ball since you've been playing.
I play what they call OPs, other people's.
That's funny you say that. I've got a member of my old guy I used to play with, a long time old friend of mine, you call them OPBs, other people's balls.
Yeah, I play OPs, other people's. And I bet you right now, I bet you I got close to 200 golf balls in the trunk of my car. Let's slowly go across here. I thought I stayed in the fairway this time. I thought I did. I should be up somewhere above the 100-yard marker. It's damn ground so hard you can't tell.
I see your ball right there.
You see a ball?
Yep, it's
right there. Yeah, I see one up there. Okay. It's a front pin. This is a very deceiving hole.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting in watching the high school boys when they play the state championship here.
You come out and watch it?
Yeah, because this hole is interesting. Those young boys from those back tees, they're hitting their balls up in here close to the 100-yard marker, and they're pulling out wedges, and they come up short, and they don't know why. This is a much steeper grade than it appears. And they're used to playing. Is that you over there?
I thought I saw it bounce on the green.
Okay, it's somebody's ball over there.
You said you walked just about.
When I was 90, I used to come out here and walk 27 poles, and carry my bag.
Wow.
Yeah. But what I would do is.
You were still doing that as frequent as you're playing golf now?
Like yeah. Oh yeah, I was retired. I was playing. Back then, 6 days a week. 7 if I could get away with it. But my daughter's very protective. And I keep telling her, you have nothing to do with me living or dying. She said, I want you to stay active, but I don't want you to overdo it. And I told her, I says, look, all of the fellas that you knew that I played with when we were young, and guys that you associated with and all, I said, all those people you know, I said, we know where they are. I said, you know where all your relatives are. I said, your mother was the baby of 11 kids. I said, we know where all your aunts and uncles are. I said, we don't have to have a big family thing. You and I had Christmas dinner. We're not going out in some cemetery.
What is it about golf? Why not?
Well, I played tennis, but that hard surface and my arthritis didn't agree. I played tennis and shit, then I'd go home and my knees and hips were hurting so bad I couldn't sleep. So I had to quit playing tennis. I really stopped playing golf because we were playing down the Washington Monument ground. Used to have a lot of baseball fields around the Washington Monument down there years ago.
You used to play that golf course that was there?
East Potomac, yeah.
What if there used to be a golf course that was even closer to the Washington Monument, was there not?
Sand green? That was before my time.
Really?
Yeah, that was before my time. I heard about it. I never played it. Okay. Before you leave, I'm going to show you what I used to do. I used to build houses.
Yeah. After you retired?
No.
While you were working?
I'll show you the first house I built in 1942. I got a picture of it in my car. Okay. I'll show it to you. I used to build houses. And it's an interesting story because back in the early 50s, a lot of the banks and mortgage companies would not would redline black neighborhoods, or they'd lowball them. They'd give them such a percentage rate that they couldn't buy the house any damn way. Okay. So, I started building houses, and I ended up, by 1958, I think I was holding 30-year first trust mortgages. I didn't go into the business. I was forced into it.
That was the only way you were going to get a house?
Huh?
That was the only way you were going to get a house?
Well, I had invested my money in building them. I'd bought the land, and I paid for all the material that went into it, and they couldn't get no decent mortgages. So I ended up taking first trust. In fact, I got a couple now. In fact, and my daughter said, are you sure? My daughter's a lawyer also. She said, you sure that lawyer made out everything right? I said, you'll get your fair share. I tell her all the time, I said, go over the papers. They're there, you can see them. Oh, come on, Bernie, you're not staying down looking at it at all. That was terrible. Yeah, you can use this hole over here. Oh, you got it?
Use the
aeration? Okay. Oh boy.
Hard fairway to hold.
You know this hole is high left all the way. All the way to the green. The left side is very high and everything's gonna hit left and run right. Not happy today with the contact I'm making. Okay, if you want to go 2 miles an hour. I had a mule that would go 3 miles an hour faster than this mechanized thing.
Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. And what you're doing is, I think, a lot of people's dreams of retirement or older age. So what is
it? Well, I think... And
did
I
already talk about the secret a little bit, and that was carrying your bag 27 holes, 6 days a week?
I was strong enough to carry my bag. I didn't need nobody to carry my bag. I keep telling you, the more you get other people to do for you, the more crutches you got. I don't want a crutch. I want to be able to do for myself. If I can't do for myself, I'd just soon die.
How's that turn out?
I should be... on the left side of the fairway down there. I'm sorry, on the right side of the fairway. I don't think I made that trap. That's the easiest thing to happen to.
Did you ever have kind of a regular golfing foursome or group of guys?
Oh, I've had several of those. But as I told you...
A lot of those folks passed away now?
Yeah. I haven't had a regular foursome now. I would say in almost 15 years. Actually, I'm going to tell you, when the group I came along with, by the time I'm looking for your ball, you should be in this area. I see one there, and that should be you, because I should be down further.
Yeah,
oh, you want to run, do you? I think that's your ball.
Yeah, that's
my ball. Now, when I got to be about 75 in that range, just about all the guys that I played with either quit playing or died.
Yeah.
And they slowly just all died off. Very few of them made it into the to be 80 years of age.
Yeah.
But, in fact, I was talking to one fellow last night. When I first came over here to Maryland in 88, I used to play, he and I were partners. And I think Charlie is now 90. And I told him, Charlie, if you're just sitting in the house, you're waiting for the Undertaker.
What about diet?
I don't believe in him.
No?
You want to control your weight? The best way to control your weight is to control what you put through your mouth.
Well, I think a lot of people think about diet as well as
if you want
a healthy life, not just weight.
My friend,
let's go back to it.
You'd be surprised that look at how people eat. People eat in accordance to what's abundance in the area or the environment they're raised in. If you go to northern Germany, you won't find too many people eating steak. They eat a lot of pork.
Sure.
They eat a lot of potatoes because that's the stuff they grow.
Sure.
You won't find them eating rice and beef because it's too expensive. And it's the same way all over the world. I didn't get it high enough. Didn't get it high enough.
Have you always gone by Bernie? How did you miss that? Have you always gone by Bernie?
No, only my wife decided this Bernie shit. My name is Adolf Bernard Smoot.
Adolf Bernard Smoot.
And she hated Adolf. And she said, I'm not going around calling you Smoot. So she abbreviated my middle name. And she started that. Anybody who called me by my first name, I know they knew me before I married. But shortly after I married, my wife started this Bernie
did
shit.
Did your peers call you Adolf when you were younger?
Well, when I was younger, in junior high school, my peers kept me in trouble because Hitler was reigning and what would happen? The teachers would all blame me because they'd see me coming down the hall and they'd click the heels and salute and I'll Hitler me. The teachers thought I was...
I imagine that got old pretty quick.
...causing it, so they used to punish me for what they were doing. And I tell them, don't do that, man. Mr. Green in the shop doesn't like it. He's going to keep me after school. And they'd laugh. And as soon as they saw Mr. Green, the first damn thing they would do was Zeke Heil me. And the first thing Mr. Green would do would make me stay after school. So, it's from the center of this box to the center of that green, it's 130 yards. The best five holes I ever played in my life, I played right from here.
Yeah, starting with this hole?
Yeah, the best five. And to this day, I don't believe it. This hole, I had a hole in one. And I was playing from back there then.
How old were you then?
I was in my 90s. And I had a hole in one. This is 14. I was playing from back there where the carpet's over there. Thing, about 190 yards, I think it was. Had a hole in one here. This is 14. I birdied 15. I birdied 16. I birdied 17. I parred 18. I was 5 under in 5 holes and used 4 putts. And do you know what? I haven't been able to get back there since. And I've been trying like hell, but it just doesn't work. And my daughter tell me, oh, you're just too old. I said, shit. It can't be that much difference between 90 and 97. Well, she doesn't agree.
Have you kept track of hole-in-ones throughout your life?
I've had nine. I had my first trip to Williamsburg. I was an 8 handicap then. And my brother-in-law got me into this foursome because one of the fellas in the foursome, something happened to his wife and he had to take her to the doctor or something. So I replaced the guy. So the other two guys didn't know me. So they thought they'd shaft their buddy. We'll stick this old man on him. We got to the fourth hole of the par three. I had a hole in one. Par five, I had an eagle. We beat those guys pretty badly that day. I think I shot 76 or 77, something like that. We beat them pretty badly. But those days are well behind me, my friend. This used to be an 8-iron shot, and yeah, I got a hybrid in my hand. See if you can make a good turn on it, Bernie. Good turn. That should come around. I don't know where it ended up. Did I make the trap?
I think it's just short of
that. Well, I was aiming at that trap. Yeah, I see that tree is right behind the pin.
Perfect line.
See, if you'd have gone at that tree, you'd have been in the hole. Let's see if we can find yours.
So how far away were you when they dropped the bomb?
Well, Okinawa, I can only estimate Okinawa must be between 400 and 500 miles from the mainland of Japan. Or from Tokyo anyway.
And that's far enough, you wouldn't be able to see.
Oh, we didn't see anything. Shit. Y'all knew more about it, but we didn't know a damn thing about the atomic bomb until we saw the newspaper, The Stars and Stripes, came out. Y'all had got it here. Is that a ball back there in the grass?
Golf's been good to you.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep. As my daughter said, you're pretty good to golf, too. I said, why? She said, you spend too much money. I said, I do. I said, I was going to ask for a raise. She said, I'm not giving you anything. You spend too much money now, she tells me. I said, all I do is buy gas and pay green fees. She said, well, you buy too much gas or you pay too many green fees. I told her, I said, the worst thing I ever did in life was train you to be a cheapskate. I'm not a cheapskate, she said. You just think that you can just spend money. I said, I don't spend money. '106. I told her, I said, when you graduated from college in 1979, in 1980, I quit drinking. I said, I didn't have no more problems. I thought. I said, but I was wrong. I said, I still got you.
So you haven't had a drink in 43 years?
I haven't had any alcohol since March of 1980. I used to drink a case of beer a day. I used to wash all my troubles away. Bernie, I want you to stay down. I want you to look at this ball. Oh, you pulled it. You looked at it. Don't go in the trap. Okay. I pulled it. No, that was good contact, but the direction was bad. I pulled it. Yeah, you could say golf has been good to me. And as I tell the pro here, I've been good to y'all too, I said, because I spend at this golf course approximately about close to the neighborhood $12,000 a year.
You don't get tempted to play other golf courses?
Well, I get tempted, but you see, I'm on a 6-hour range. My daughter gives me 1 hour to get here, 1 hour to get back home, so that's only 4 hours to play.
There's courses that are closer than University of
Maryland. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Do you know how close I live to Falls Road?
When was the last time you played Falls Road?
I guess about 4 years ago. I can't take Falls Road. I can't take 5.5-6 hours.
It's too slow.
Falls Road is slow as hell. And Needwood is slow as hell. No, I used to travel to all the different courses around. Bernie, you got to swing the club. You got to swing the club, Bernie. No, you didn't swing it. Damn it. You didn't swing it. Ah, that was terrible. Now, what you just saw, third shot of mine, yeah. It lets me know one thing.
What's that?
I'm getting tired. When I stop swinging the club, it's a sign I'm getting tired. Now, when I first came out here after the storm, This section of me reminded me part of the Battle of the Bulge, where the artillery shells had torn all the tops out of the trees. Of course, you didn't have them uprooted like this, but if you looked at the tops, all of the trees were splintered and ripped apart from the artillery shells.
Man, I'm coming up and I'm coming all the way out of
it. Yeah, well, I guess I've tired you out. Oh, man. The only thing that's tiring me out is this damn cart. It's difficult dealing with anything when you know you could do better. I know I can do better walking. But I can't carry that bag. See, there lies the problem. I should be.
People tell you often that you don't seem 97 years old.
Well, most people won't believe me when I tell them my age. And you'd be surprised how many fools want to bet. I said, you dumb enough to bet me that I don't know my own age? Oh, Bernie, you're just a liar. I said, well, do you believe what the state of Maryland says? Oh, baby, where in the hell are you going? You'd be surprised how many guys don't realize that the only way you can save strokes is with the putter. You can't eliminate the drive. That's just something you got to take. And it,
as long as you're keeping your drive in play.
If it's what you do with it after, whether it's in play or in the woods or anywhere. What did you do with it after?
So what was the neighborhood in D.C. you grew up in?
Well, the area in general is called Deanwood. But I grew up closer to a section that when I was a kid was called the Priest Village, and now it's called Capitol View. Okay. Off of East Capitol and Central Avenue. It was named the Priest Village after Oscar the Priest, one of the first black senators from Illinois, and he started building houses out there out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Okay. I knew him personally because I was his paper boy.
You grew up in one of those houses?
No, I was out there years before Oscar the Priest started building houses out there. Okay. He was a Republican, and he lost when Roosevelt won his second term. He lost out. The Democrats in Chicago took over. Boy. I've hit one tee ball today. I'll see if I can hit another one. One lousy tee ball all day long. That's terrible. This one kind of dog legs a little to the left. And everything slants going from right to left.
Well, we found a beautiful day here, bro.
Well, you see, that's where you and I differ. Let me tell you something. Any day I see is beautiful. I don't care if it's 40 feet of snow, rain, sleet, or not. I say to myself, well, you're still here, Bernie. When all the others are gone, you're still with me. Don't pull it, Bernie. Nice, smooth swing. That's going to be in the sand trap, I'm afraid. I pulled it anyway. Nah, like the guys ask me, how you feel, Bernie? I have one standard answer for them, terrible. Why do you feel terrible? Because something in me hurt, whether I know it or not.
What do the doctors tell you?
I don't have much to do with doctors.
No?
I burn a lot of them. I've been going to the same doctor now, I guess, close to 30 years.
Yeah.
I started going to him because my doctor, oh, you're in the trap. My doctor died. I think between doctors and dentists, I guess between the two of them, I bird a dozen. And the doctor I go to now, yeah, I guess he's about 70. Okay. And after every examination, he said, I don't know why you should be examining me. You're in better shape than I am. You see, it's difficult to think about playing and scoring with the golf course in the condition it's in.
Mm-hmm.
And all bundled up in clothing and junk. And of course, this temperature still isn't warm enough for me at my club HB to compress a ball. I'm not compressing that ball at all. I play with a Chinese fella out here who's shorter than I am, but he's about a 5 handicap, and he says, Bernie, every time I think I got you, you one putt on me.
do you have a relationship at all with Jeff Maynor, the pro?
Jeff's the club pro here. I remember when he came here.
Yeah.
In fact, Jeff is the first person to introduce me to strokes less than your age. I had never paid any attention to that kind of thing.
How many times have you just made you shot your age?
Since I was in my mid-80s, I've heard some shoot over my age. And now I never shoot over my age.
I said, if you do some quick math, and you're, let's just say, for argument's sake, you're playing 200 rounds of golf a year, and you're probably playing one more than that. That means you've probably shot your age well over 2,000 times.
I wouldn't doubt it, because the point is that I, even when I have a bad round, it's only going to come out, I'm 97 now. A bad round to me is 89 to 90. I usually shoot, I average out between 83 and 85 most of the time. I can't get back to that 20 under my age too often. Sure. But Jeff was the first one that called it to my attention about shooting under your age. When I was 75 and he first came here, I played in a senior event.
Yeah.
And he called me and he said, "Bernie, you shot it under your age." Well, I was 75 and I shot a 74.
Yeah.
And I said, "So what? I didn't win." He says, "Man, you don't know. You don't know." I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "I know I didn't win." But, oh, you pulled it. But I have the thing he sent to Golf Digest. Shooting under your age,
yeah.
A certificate that when I was 75 and shot that 74.
Yeah.
But when I shot this course under par, Jeff hadn't even come here. They hadn't even renovated the course then.
You got a favorite hole out here?
Yeah, 18 of them. You know,
18's a tough hole, isn't
it? I know one thing. This one, I don't care what tee I play from, is a hard hole.
Yep.
I don't care what tee I play it from, it is a hard hole.
It's sneaky uphill. You don't realize
that. Well, not one. You hit one drive, that's all you hit all day.
I think I went over. There's just another ball in there. I might grab it.
Well, you just found one, maybe.
There you go.
This bunker should never cause you any trouble unless you're up against the lip. That first one, I just lifted up and hit it fat. Oh, man. .163. 163 up a hill, about 175 yards shot. Lost it. Did you make it?
I did.
Good. You went through that one. And when it went up, I couldn't see through the top of the roof. It sounded like you went through that one good. I should be somewhere in the rough on the other side of this cart path sign. I think that's where I went. There's a 100-yard marker. Maybe 110. Well, let's see if I can get it on the green.
Oh, yeah. I think you crept on the left side.
I drove through that ball because it started to bow. When they start to bow and draw a little from left to right, I know I've passed through it. Well, I hope I didn't waste your time coming out here.
Are you kidding me, Bernie? I enjoyed that very much. Very much.
And I hope the next time I see you, I will have be playing golf. Because this shit I'm doing now, you don't call playing golf. This is terrible. As a guy said, you can get any drunk to do what I'm doing. This is nothing.
I thought that was very cool. I appreciate you allowing me to join you.
You'd be surprised how many people I've played with in 70 years.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine.
And as I said, 6 days a week, I come out here. And I know since I was 75, I've heard some have a foursome. But see, I just can't be standing around.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.